It's summertime. Everything's a rerun, including this very special repeat episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour. You lucky listeners, you.
I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
The following portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is made possible by a grant from Smirk Pharmaceuticals.
I take Dirigor epinephamphetamortizone, or Dream. It doesn't do that much for me. It can't take the dog for a walk. It won't fry my breakfast. It can't change the horror of an infinitely blank and hostile universe bent on burying me alive beneath the immeasurable weight of its dark matter. But it does make me feel a little better. For a while. Smirk developed Dream to counteract the horrific side effects brought on by long-term use of its own hypertrophic drugs. And Dream does the job. I do feel a little better. For a while. Then I have to take some more. Ask your doctor if Dream is right for your bottomless sense of despair. In the meantime, here's a few things you should know.
Dirigor epinephamphetamortizone can and usually will cause dizziness, violent seizures, loss of hearing, uncontrollable vomiting leading to organ failure, hair loss of fingers, toes, and limbs, leprosy, partial blindness, total blindness, massive strokes, bloody stool, seven groups of terminal cancers, morbid obesity, asphyxia, sudden death, not so sudden death, slow lingering death, death by water, bubonic plague, necrotizing fasciitis or flesh-eating disease, spontaneous combustion, and stage 3 syphilis. Be aware that Dirigor epinephamphetamortizone is a powerful toxin with no known antidote. It should not be taken by pregnant women, non-pregnant women, tall women, overweight women, men of any size, children, adolescents, seniors, pets, any human or non-human living thing, except starving, desperately poor Africans in the course of a large-scale clinical trial.
Look, Dream works. I've tried everything for that overwhelming sense of my own inescapable futility, and nothing works like Dream. You know, Dream makes me feel a little better. And who doesn't want to feel a little better? For a while.
This has been a message from your good friends at Smirk. It's time for the Final Edition Radio Hour's finance feature, Money or Die. Pharmaceutical companies constantly attack the Food and Drug Administration as the embodiment of the nanny state. Above all, for its stubborn insistence on lengthy and costly clinical trials for new drugs. But Congress is listening, and Big Pharma is finally doing some damage to the worrywarts of the FDA. Fox Burnett held a round table with some of the big players in the brave new world of outsourced clinical testing.
First, the news. As of January 1st, 2013, global ratings giants Moody's and Standard & Poor's, not the FDA, will now rate the reliability of drugs the same way they rate the reliability of bonds, securities, and feckless little European countries. Heinrich von Steyman is CEO of global pharmaceutical conglomerate Smirk.
At Smirk, we always balance patient health with financial health. Our financial health. That's why we object to the artificial firewall of clinical trials. We don't need them. Patients don't need them. Why inflict hideous, unbearable pain in the lab on adorable puppies and monkeys, Just to give an FDA paper pusher something to do between porn breaks?
But the public has to know that drugs are safe. What's the alternative to clinical testing?
Market forces should determine a drug's success. If a drug works, doctors will prescribe it and patients will demand it, just like stocks and bonds. If it doesn't work, it will die a horrible death, as will a few patients. But we have awesome lawyers, and you can't make an omelet without killing a few unborn baby chickens. Better unborn baby chickens than adorable puppies and monkeys, no?
So how does a rating service with no expertise in the health field rate a new drug? Moody's Paul Bearer is an unindicted mortgage-backed bond rater.
Moody's will conduct its usual exhaustive review, taking into account the usual gamut of factors we look at with any financial product, a company's claims, government counterclaims, the hopes and fears of desperately sick people, and above all, the size of the product's marketing budget.
Can you give us an example?
Happy to. Our best rating is AAA. That's a big A for okay, two little A's for top of the class. Drugs rated AAA are judged to be of the finest quality and carry the smallest degree of infection risk. Patients for this drug are likely to be exceptionally stable and secure. Built-in protections may change, but such changes are unlikely to impair the fundamentally strong nature of such drugs.
Okay, what about the other end of the spectrum?
That would be drugs rated triple C. The big C for you know what, and two nasty little C's for cough, please. Drugs rated triple C should only be used in ER medical events where lack of insurance and minimal oversight by underpaid, overworked staff are significant factors. Such drugs may present elements of danger with respect to the principal patient or interested parties. Our default advice is extreme caution. And while we're talking default, adverse reactions will not be default of the manufacturer.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes.
Predictably, fuss budgets like Nancy Pelosi are raising conflict of interest issues. Ms. Ex-Speaker?
People, while we concur with our colleagues on the rabid right that outsourcing the regulatory burden of the FDA will trim the federal budget, holy Hannah, what choice do we have? There's a huge potential for financial hanky-panky. If Moody's are going to rate the efficacy of, say, your drugs, Herr von Seemann, how can they possibly continue rating Smirk's stocks and securities?
We take criticism like Madam X-Speaker's very, very seriously. If she is taking any of our medications, I'd advise her to make very, very sure that the tamper-free packaging has not been tampered with.
Is that a threat?
Yes, but hopefully such measures will not be necessary. The ratings guys have thought through such issues quite carefully.
Paul Bearer?
I love Nancy. If she had her way, it wouldn't be a nanny state. It'd be a Nancy state. Frankly, I rate her concerns as triple C for crap, crap, and more crap. At Moody's, our drug rating and stock rating departments are staffed completely separately, and though they work on the same floor, they're totally forbidden to fraternize, or even mingle. Fraternize, mingle, you're done at Moody's.
Reassuring. So, Herr von Seemann, will new drugs be subject to any old-fashioned testing at all?
Yes, all our drugs are thoroughly tested. Rest easy on that score, America. The FDA wants clinical trials to continue, but in our labs, on our time frame, with a slightly lower threshold of negative outcomes. So, our hugely popular anti-antidepressant Sadvil simply had to demonstrate that it did not cause violent convulsion, massive oral hemorrhaging, and death. Our new alpha blocker, Dryagra, which shrinks enlarged prostates, will only have to show it doesn't make a test subject's scrotum explode.
Moody's is currently accepting applications for new test subjects at your local emergency room. Next week on Money or Die, the new Goldman Sachs Food Administration bets big time that you can't eat all that.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Chick-fil-A owner argues Kathy is not a gay name.
Lightning kills one at NASCAR event. Diabetes, unimpressed.
Obama extends Bush-era program to weaponize Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
The following is a message from the National Writing Association.
As we all know, America recently suffered a pair of inexplicable auto tragedies when crazed motorists crashed into public gathering places and ran people over until they ran out of gas. As usual, this has led to reckless and ill-thought restrictions on automobile possession and use. That's where the National Riding Association is protecting your rights to have a vehicle and to use it freely. And the NRA needs your support, your dollars, and your votes, because your rights are not safe. Many people now want what is called a speed limit, in which liberals and other fearmongers would limit your speed, as if the rate of a moving body could be legislated. The planet itself is already moving around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. So whether you drive at 10 miles an hour through a schoolyard or 75 miles an hour, it's really less than a 1% difference. How can that matter or even be enforced? But that won't stop the politicians. Without our efforts, you could lose your ability to drive while relaxing with an alcoholic beverage. Your 5-year-old son could no longer drive your truck or van. You could lose your right to own and drive a tank, or for your 5-year-old to operate the gun turret. The government might even restrict your number of kills. Sure, people say tanks tear up the highways. They say 5-year-olds keep crashing trucks into buildings while clapping and singing. They say dogs should not be trained to operate farm equipment. But freedom isn't free, my friends. And if we allow any restrictions on cars, pretty soon we won't have cars at all. And remember, cars are in the Constitution. Somewhere. Oh, crap, look out!
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth.
This is Bob Costas with coverage of the 2012 Summer Olympic Games. Al Michaels joins me for one of the most exciting races in modern competition today. Al?
Well, the world's been fixated on Usain Bolt in the men's 100-meter dash and Sonia Richards-Ross in the women's 400 meters. But there's another race that's even more impressive.
That's right, Al. The men's $100 million dash.
The most obscenely expensive sprint in all of human history.
This race costs so much, it only has two competitors.
The defending champion, Mitt Romney from the United States, and a newcomer, Barack Obama from Kenya.
The Kenyans have never won the $100
million. Now here come the judges. They'll be deciding who gets the $100 million.
These are some of the top names in democracy today. Morgan Stanley, High Bridge Capital Management, Blackstone.
But despite Obama's superior record, Romney tends to win these big money competitions.
Obama excels in the far less lucrative men's $3 email appeal.
The competitors are on the unlevel playing field. Romney in favorite position. And
they're pandering.
Wow, look at Romney go. He's gotten $10 million in the first 10 seconds, and all without putting forward a single idea.
Obama is outlining his health care plan, his jobs plan, and his energy plan. This doesn't look good for him.
No, Romney is already up $50 million. I don't see how Obama can catch up.
Obama's taken something out of his pocket. It looks like J.P. Morgan Chase.
I didn't think they had anything left, but they're putting Obama back in the race.
Look what's coming onto the field. Romney's Super PAC. Restore our future.
If I had to put money on it, I'd say they're not likely to help a struggling Kenyan.
You can put $100 million on it because, thanks to them, Romney has won.
Wait, someone's running onto the field. This is unprecedented.
It's Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
Romney hasn't paid taxes in 10 years. 9/11 was an inside job. Senator Green is people.
The judges aren't paying any attention.
The winner of the $100 million dash, once again, is Mitt Romney.
The Michael Phelps of Citizens United. I'll be back with an awkward, meaningless interview after this.
New Employee Orientation, version 7.2.
Welcome to the Oxland Corporation, or as we like to call it, the Oxland family. We care about each other around here, and we like to have fun. I'm the company chairman, but you can call me Malcolm. And here are your new co-workers to tell you what keeps us together.
We have pizza every Thursday at the office, so I like that part.
Chairman Malcolm likes to make sure everyone's happy, so he reads all your emails.
We have drinks and dinners on any random day at any random time, depending on the chairman's schedule, and always at this one weird bar next to his house, so Be ready to cancel any appointments you make with a doctor or your kids.
Yeah, don't even schedule things with your kids. It's just too heartbreaking when you can't show up.
The chairman lets his ferret run around the office. It was cute at first.
Well, every summer, we have a company picnic. It's a 75-mile bus ride to this one huge park upstate. You're stuck there for 8 hours because there are no trains. It always happens on a Sunday. It's unpaid, and it's mandatory.
So enjoy your time here. Remember, as in most loving families, you can be fired without cause at any time and escorted out of the building before you can even go back to your desk.
We are family.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Zoo chimp needs Tommy John surgery after flinging too much poo.
Americans win gold in pie eating.
Expected to become hurricane, tropical storm Ernesto shocks all by becoming a dancer.
Hello and welcome to my booth. Can I help you? Hello? Don't be shy.
I'm sorry. This is my first time at one of these weapons festivals.
Please, we call it a gun show. Relax! Can I see your ID?
I was told I didn't need to have identification.
I'm kidding. I don't need to see an ID. Relax! Can I get you a bumper sticker?
No, just a gun would be good.
Of course, a gun. Now, do you know which kind of gun?
I don't know. I'm kind of new to random motiveless killings.
I see. Are you a hunter or a maniac?
I'm not sure.
Do you keep to yourself?
Yes.
Do you have antisocial tendencies?
Yeah.
Do you believe in thinning out the herd?
A herd of people, yeah.
Do you kill for sport?
I could kill at sports.
You're a hunter of humans, which puts you in either category. Fortunately, I market the same guns to both hunters and maniacs. Do you want pistols or automatic weapons?
How about two of each? No, make it three. No, make it 12.
With 13, you get a bumper sticker. Guns don't kill, my customers do.
Thanks. Do you have a movie schedule?
I'm a death merchant, not Fandango.
Oh, well, I don't know how to thank you. I feel like giving you a warning sign.
Wonderful. In your aftermath, I'll tell the media I didn't pick up on it.
Well, I'm gonna go keep to myself now.
Sure. If you want, you can keep to yourself with those loners over there.
Those people socializing?
Yeah. They're all antisocial. And they're all my customers.
Wow. There are more of us hunter maniacs than I thought.
Just do me a favor. Don't thin out that herd. Next!
This is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
This is the Reverend John Hagee with another End Times God podcast. Today, Christ, the early years. The Bible is silent on the youth of Jesus. What was the teen Jesus really like? Well, as with all young men, we can find out a lot about Jesus from his upbringing and where he went to school and college. Was he respectful towards his parents, his teachers, and the police? How were his grades? Was he popular? Did he excel in sports? Did he fool around with booze and drugs? People often ask me, what did Jesus look like? One of the factors here is that Jesus was Jewish. Not as big a factor as it used to be, of course. These days there are many fine Jews in America who don't look all that Jewish. I have a hunch Jesus was one of them. The image of Jesus that has come down the centuries is of a tall, broad-shouldered, handsome young man with blonde hair to his shoulders. I can assure you that despite his long hair and his 12 best friends being men, Jesus wasn't in any way light in the loafers. His upbringing was model. After all, his mother was a virgin, and you can't get much more model than that. The Bible assures us that the Christs were responsible, hard-working folks. We know they were law-abiding people who stayed out of trouble, A normal family, just like yours or mine. Some prominent scholars believe that the brother James referred to in the Bible, since owing to Mary Christ's permanent virginity, he couldn't have been Jesus' brother, was actually the family dog. We know the Christ adopted son studied hard and worked for his stepfather Joseph, a carpenter, and was deeply interested in the business side of carpentry. As he said to his mother, "I must be about my father's business." I have a theory that Jesus revolutionized the carpentry of biblical times by inventing nails. There is no mention in the Bible of nails before Jesus' birth, and yet, 33 years later, we read of Roman soldiers nailing Jesus' blessed hands and feet to the cross. We can safely assume that Jesus made his dad a wealthy man by urging him to use nails in his craft instead of the cumbersome pegs, string, and bone glue that held furniture together in antiquity, and at the same time creating the viciously sharp shards of iron that pierced his blessed hands and feet, allowing him to suffer even more terribly when redeeming us sinners. Amen! No question that Jesus attended one of the local community colleges like Galilee U or Nazareth Tech. He would have majored in business with a minor in carpentry or speaking in tongues. And wouldn't a tall, muscular, blonde young fellow who just happened to be God be a huge asset to his school's sports program? Yea, verily, I can just see our sweet Lord in the fourth quarter of Judea Eastern Conference Beggars Bowl, huddling with his offense with seconds to go.
And fourth down on Nazareth's 35. 5 points behind this gung-ho Pharisee team with no timeouts left. Looks like the Pharisees have it in the bag. What will Jesus do? It'll take a miracle for Nazareth's blonde young giant of a quarterback to pull this one out now. There's a snap. Jesus rolls out. He beats one defender, two, three. Is he going to run it in? He hasn't got time. Only 5 seconds on the clock, and mother of God, a huge Hail Mary pass 90 yards easy. Wide receiver Lazarus speeding down the sideline. He's in the end zone. The Pharisee defense is swarming the end zone. Lazarus is a dead man. Up they go. And touchdown! Jesus, Hail Mary pass is good. Lazarus makes an unbelievable catch. Nazareth beats Pharisee U for the 18 AD Eastern Conference title.
I reckon Jesus' Virgin Mother Mary was proud of her little boy that fine day in 18 AD. Brethren and sistren, if there's one thing this beautiful Bible story tells us, it's this. Jesus was a winner. Jesus cannot abide losers. Now let us sing hymn number 1141 in the Hagee Much Improved Hymn Book, O Bloody, Bloody Jesus.
O bloody, bloody Jesus, we love thy blood so red. We love the bloody corpuscles streaming down thy head. O bloody, bloody Jesus, we love the crimson tide that spurted from the bloody spear stuck in thy bloody side. O bloody, bloody Jesus, we love thy blood so red. We love the bloody corpuscles streaming down thy head.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Jesus hugs Chick-fil-A spokesman to death.
Romney promises to repeal Google and bring back AskJeeves.com.
Gynecology website shut down by denial of cervix attack.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Dad, I need to get to the bathroom.
Hold on, I'll be out in a minute.
Are you all right?
Not really. I ate at Chick-fil-A yesterday.
So, how's your solidarity?
Ugh.
Did you get the double bigot Jesus meal?
Yeah, two of them.
So, where's your God now, Dad?
Oh!
I'm for the fight, but I know what I like. Chicken for lunch, chicken for my dinner. Chicken, 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 I'm a finger licking winner.
Oh!
The time comes, I don't recognize.
Oh, well, that calling for the boycott is real, has a chilling effect on our First Amendment rights.
Chick-fil-A. 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 Chick-fil-A.
Governor Palin joined us. Good evening, Governor. Thank you. It's nice to be home. I'm a little sleep deprived, but I sleep deprived, but I sleep deprived. Let me start with this Chick-fil-A and the picture of you and Tatum Cruz. Let me start with this Chick-fil-A and the Chick-fil-A and the picture of you and Tatum Cruz. Chilling effect on our First Amendment rights. Chilling effect on our chilling effect on our First Amendment, First Amendment, First Amendment, First Amendment, First Amendment, First Amendment rights.
Chick-fil-A. Chick.
Right. Right. The owner of the Chick-fil-A, 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 supporting traditional definition of marriage. One boy, one girl, falling in love, getting married.
Chick-fil-A.
The exact same thing until just a few months ago when Obama had to flip-flop to shore up the homosexual voter base. You know, I believe that states have that constitutional right to make decisions about a variety of issues. But listen, I personally would love to see a national dialogue about marriage. And I do, you know, as former governor, I say let the states decide that. They want to continue to define marriage as one man and one woman, as the Muslims do, Orthodox Jews do, non-denominational Christians do, faith-practicing Catholics do. It truly is a cornerstone of religions and civilization.
The Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Antoot Shell, Rachel Lyon, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, Tony Hendra, and Scooter from KPFT in Houston, and his son Raymond. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Mike Richardson Bryan, Paul Seaburn, Jeff Chrysler, Tony Hendra, and Scooter from KPFT in Houston, and his son Raymond. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com, well, now, and an hour from now, and 2 hours from now, then tomorrow morning, and in the afternoon, and at night, and several times a day, for more sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra, and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2012.